But the Lord has been, you know, speaking so many great things to us and revealing himself to us in a great way. And this is what God wants. You know, God has things for us, and he wants to reveal those things to us. He wants us to begin to desire those things. And we're going to look into the word here for just a moment. But let's pray real quick before we do this morning. Father, we just thank you, God, once again for bringing us together, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done for us, Lord, and for the Lord, for this new year that you've given us, Lord. We come in here every service now, Lord, and we are expecting you. Lord, we feel your presence already this morning, Lord, and we are just expecting great things from you. Lord, I believe this is going to be the most productive year that we've ever had. Lord, just touch your people this morning. God, just begin to, as you work in us, Lord, you're able to work through us. And that's what we want, Lord. We want you to work in us first and then work through us. So go ahead, Lord, and just do something this morning. Have your will in your way in Jesus' name. This is a psalm that was decreed and ordained by the early Christians that no day should pass without the public singing of this song. This was a psalm of David when David was in the wilderness of Judah. And there are differing opinions on whether this was when David was running from Saul or whether it was years later when he was running from, after he'd become king, he reached a point where there was a problem with his son Absalom. And David goes and he leaves the kingdom and he is running again. You know, and as I read this, we often find ourselves in the wilderness more than once. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, once you come to God, there might be only one or two, you know, times in your life you find yourself in a dry place. Well, I found myself there many times in this wilderness, and I can only imagine what David must have felt. You know, he's either feeling how close that he had been to what God called him for. You know, if this was the period where he was running from Saul, you know, he had been called and ordained and anointed of God that one day he would be king. Even as a young boy, Samuel came down and took him out of the sheepfold and poured anointing oil on his head and chose him to be king one day. And he had come to the point that he had gained national favor for killing Goliath. And he had gone and he'd even become the king's son-in-law by marrying Saul's daughter, Michal. And how close that he had been to experiencing, you know, the power and the majesty of the kingdom. And now he's on the run, living in the wilderness, sleeping in caves, and his life being threatened on a daily basis. Enemy all around him. And I started thinking, how many times have you and I, you know, been close to what we thought was breakthrough? Anybody ever know what I mean? Oh, Pastor, I feel like I'm real close to my spiritual breakthrough or my physical breakthrough or my financial breakthrough. Oh, I thought that this was going to be my job. I thought this was going to be the relationship that God had for me. I thought this was going to be the time that God was going to move in my life. Anybody ever been there? Only to find yourself in the wilderness. Boy, I thought this was it. I thought this was what I was waiting on. I thought this was what God had for me. And then to find myself in the wilderness. You know, maybe it's something you've already experienced. I'm thinking about the time, you know, where he had already been king. Maybe it's something you've already experienced. You've already been blessed. You've already had good health. You've had a good job. You've had a good home life. You've been on top. And then all of a sudden, due to circumstances beyond your control, you find yourself in the wilderness. Anybody know what I mean? Oh, maybe you've been in a good church like Grace Tabernacle, and you just, you know, been on top spiritually. I leave here, and, oh, Pastor, I just feel so good, and I just felt God in the services, and the next thing you know, before the week is over, you find yourself in a spiritual wilderness. Anybody ever feel that way? Just feel like you're on top of the world when you leave here? Next thing you know, before you even get out of the car, you feel like you're in the wilderness again? Boy, I'm thinking, whatever the case was, David was in the wilderness, and this is his reaction to the wilderness. I think we can learn something from this. See, whether it's something that you thought you were right there on the edge of your breakthrough and then bottom drops out, or maybe you've been on top and now you're in a... This is when he's in the wilderness, and I think we might be able to... Listen to what he says here in Psalm 63. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Listen to what he's saying here, church. He's saying, O God, thou art my God. That's the Hebrew Elohim Eli, the same word that Christ used when he was on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? David is acknowledging that he's God of all, but he's also taking notice of his personal relationship with God. Have you noticed this? He said, thou art my God. You're not only God of everything, but you're my God. Oh, he's hanging on. Here he is. He's in the wilderness. He's hanging on to that relationship that he has with God. He said, early will I seek you. He deems the more time that he has with God is more profitable than that extra few hours of sleep. Anybody ever found that out? When God begins to deal with you early in the morning. I think this is what God's trying to do here, church. That word early has a sense of eagerness and importance. And I believe that if we would start our day off seeking him, my day goes a whole lot better when I do. Anybody else? That's why I started praying, church, the new day in. I'm up at midnight. I'm praying the old day out and praying the new day in. But I find, church, that as I do, I get a jump on the devil, and my day just goes a whole lot better. God like to get us into place, church, that even in the wilderness, come on, somebody, can we seek him early? Oh, that's a great thing. You know, church, when you're going through it, that's the best time for you to seek God before you even get out of bed. Laying there in the bed, God, this is going to be a good day. I'm taking charge of it right now. You said this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's going to be a good one. Somebody take control of your day. I like the story, church, where Joshua comes down and he's fighting against the enemy, and all of a sudden he's winning and he's defeating the enemy, and the sun's starting to go down, and he speaks to the sun and the moon to stand still. He's taking charge of his day. I'm not done yet. I'm having a good day, and I'm not done with it yet. Oh, come on, somebody. I believe we can have a good day from the time we get up to the time we go back to bed again. He said, my flesh longs for you. His very body felt the effects of his desire for fellowship with God. Oh, my God. How many ever get out of bed and you just, it takes you a while just to get moving again? He said, even my flesh, my body feels the effects of my desire for God. I believe there was a spring in his step. Oh, as one seeks water in a dry and thirsty land. Anybody ever wake up thirsty? Come on, somebody. Anybody ever wake up thirsty in the middle of the night? Oh, I can remember the times when my sons were little, 18, 19. Dad, would you get me a drink of water? Now they don't yell, they call me on the phone. Dad, is that you up in there? Would you bring me a glass of water? Oh, come on, somebody. We got a father like that. Am I talking to anybody? Because being the good father that I am, I usually, if I'm up and at it, I'm going to do it. Well, how many know the Bible said we got a father that doesn't sleep or slumber? If we wake up at church like that, thirsty and dry for him, all we have to do is just begin to call on him. He said, I'm thirsty for that. How many times, church, does God use life experiences like that to speak to us, to relate and reveal something to us? That's what he's doing here with David. He's got him in the wilderness, and he's using the wilderness, that dry place, to begin to speak to him about his spiritual man. Even though he was in a dry place physically, he's saying, Lord, I am thirsty for you. Come on, somebody. That's the way God speaks. How many stories have I told that related, you know, with what God was trying to tell us? Somebody said here not long ago, oh, I love it when you tell those stories. I remember a time when I was, maybe four or five, and I was, I loved when my granddad would go out and mow the grass. And he would get his mower, and I had a little toy mower, and I would follow along behind him. And every day, every time that he mowed, I'd get out there and I'd follow him. Well, one day I finally got out there and I was following him with my little toy mower and I went astray. Somebody listening to me. I know you got no, you can't relate it all to that. I've been following Jesus and following Jesus and something happened that got my attention and it drew me off track. All of a sudden, I went astray, and I started going off on my own. Suddenly, I felt like a little independent. That can happen at 5 years old. I got grandkids. I know rebellion is in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction drives it far from them. That's in the Bible. I'm not making it up. I'm not being mean. I went off a little bit on my own, and all of a sudden, I was mowing by myself. You know, he was still in the distance where I could see him, but I was mowing by myself, and all of a sudden, I saw these ants coming out of this anthill. Big red fire ants. I started mowing them. And the more I mowed them, the more they oozed out of that big hole in the ground. The next thing I knew, I was completely covered from head to foot with them. And I screamed for my granddad, and he come a running. Isn't that just the way it is? He swooped me up, took me into the house, poured a bunch of water in the bathtub, and threw me in. And I sat there in that tub looking at all those dead ants. And it just reminds me, church, of how the times you might go astray from the Lord, but he's always there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All I got to do is say, Jesus. Woo! And he's there, church, to swoop down and pick me up. And that blood of the Lamb, church, has not lost its power. Oh, my goodness. David's desire, what does he say in verse 2? He said, my desire is to see your power and your glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. As much as he loved and missed being in the sanctuary, he's in the desert now. There's a desire, an even greater desire toward God himself. I'm going to see your power and your glory. This is someone, church, who was either, think about it, close to receiving the kingdom or already had it. And was in the desert. And he wasn't longing for his nice bed. He wasn't longing for his table full of food. He wasn't longing. He wasn't missing the honor and the glory of the people. Even in the wilderness, his mind and his heart and his desire is toward the presence of God. Yes. Boy, think about that. He's not saying, boy, I sure miss my bed. I sure miss my wife. I sure miss being the king's son-in-law. King is after him to kill him. He's jealous of him. No, he's out there in the wilderness, and he's thinking about being in the sanctuary. He's thinking about the presence of God. Desire. The word desire is to crave something at the expense of losing everything else. Anybody listening to me? Thy love, he says in verse 3, thy loving kindness is better than life. This is what he's saying here, church. This is a desire. This is something he's craving more than life. It's your loving kindness, God's love and God's favor and God's presence is better than life. Even if it cost me my life, my lips shall praise thee. Are you listening to this? Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in your name. He said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David's thinking about the great sacrificial feast of the sanctuary. When he's talking about the marrow and fatness, he's thinking back on all the great times that he was in the sanctuary and they would bring the sacrifices in. And now here he is in the wilderness. He's not able to sacrifice at the great altar, but he's still bringing an offering. Anybody getting this with me? Oh, listen to what Hebrews 13 says. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Come on, somebody. Did you hear me? Let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Oh, is that something we've been talking about? That sacrifice of praise, he's in a position right here, church. He wasn't able to be in church. He was in the wilderness. He's gone through one of those times in his life that he didn't know what God was going to do, but he knew God was there. He knew God was going to do it. And he's able to, I can't go there into the sanctuary like I want to and praise him and bring an offering, but I can offer a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of my lips. Anybody want to be productive? Amen. This most productive year I've ever had. Somebody praying that way. Yeah, Lord, it's going to be the most productive year I've ever had. And this is what he's doing, church. He's there and he's praising God and he's seeking God. And the most, I believe, church, I can, even when I'm going through the wilderness, I can still bring an offering. Even church, when I'm going through a hard time, I can still produce fruit. Even church, when I don't have anything financially, if I don't have a dime in my pocket, I can still bring an offering. Come on, somebody. How can I do this? What's he saying? How does he? Here he is, church. He's tasted and seen the power of the kingdom. He's either close or he's had it. And yet he's being chased either by the great king himself or by his own family. Boy, think about this. Nobody's ever had a time when it seemed like the ones that were coming against you were the ones that were closest to you. Boy. And yet he's still able to come before God in the wilderness on a daily basis and give God bread. He said, I wake up like this, hungry and thirsty for God. Anybody waking up like that in the morning? Oh, my goodness. I wake up on a Sunday morning and I've been fasting and I'm hungry and I'm thirsty physically, but I'm hungry and thirsty more for the things of God. That's what he's saying. He said, your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness is better than the Pepsi. Better than the Golden Arches. How's he able to do this? What's he saying in verse 6? When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. He's beginning to talk here, church, and he is seeking God. I remember the time on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Did you hear what he's saying here? He sought God first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. Boy, continually. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? He said, bring the sacrifice of praise to God continually. David's doing this. He's talking about first thing in the morning, last thing at night, when I'm laying there before I go to sleep, in the night watches. What's the night watches? Well, that was the periods of time that they would have in those days that they would set guards. And they would bring them in at certain periods, four different periods during the night, and they would sit and they would stand guard. Well, he's talking about a spiritual thing here in the night watches. This is something, church, I believe that, you know, he's got a desire for, such a great desire for God. He's probably praying all night long. He's seeking the Lord. If he wakes up, he's seeking God. And he satisfies, and his soul begins to produce praise. In verse 7, he said, because thou hast been my help. He's not asking for help. How many times in the psalm did we see David crying out to God? But here, church, he's not crying out for help. He said, you've been my help all along. He's resting in the fact that he's always been there. Even in the times, church, when he faced the lion and when he faced the bear, it gave him hope that he could go out against the giant. Somebody remember this? Oh, he went to the king and told the king. He said, I can go out against the giant. He said, I remember the time that the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the lion. And he said, he's still able to deliver. Oh, this is what he's talking about here, church. He's resting in the fact that he's always been there and he's always done this. So he's going to do it even if it's the king chasing me, even if it's my own family that's after me. He's still got me in the palm of his hand. And therefore, he said, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. God's presence was his covering, even there in the wilderness. Somebody realize in Psalm 23, it says that thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Even in the worst moment of my life, do we realize, church, that God has prepared something good for us? Even in the wilderness, he said in verse 8, my soul follows hard after thee. The primary sense here in the Hebrew is something firmly united with strong affection. Actually, in the Hebrew, it means glued. My soul follows hard. I am attached to you in such a way I cannot be separated. I believe this is stronger than Gorilla Glue. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Those that seek my soul. David trusted God even to deal with his enemies. Come on, somebody. In other words, God's trying to get something across. I'm trying to show you how to fight your battle in the wilderness. Is this okay? Even when it comes to your enemies, you don't have to lash out. You don't have to attack back. You don't have to try to get revenge. You don't have to sit there and allow that to consume your thoughts. They're going to pay for this. No, what does he say, church? He's trying to let us know here, church, that God's going to take care of him. Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Realize, church, I said this here not long ago, payday's coming. There's some people you're going to see, church, there that have maybe been even coming against you. Just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch, payday's coming. God's going to take care of that thing. He said he will make them a portion of the foxes or the jackals. That means that they're going that there's nothing going to be anything left. When the foxes and the jackals would come upon something that was already dead, you know what would happen, church? They would devour them. There would be nothing left. In other words, he's saying, I got confidence there's not going to be anything left of my enemies. But in verse 11, he said, the king shall rejoice in God.
Yes.
Are you getting this? Listen to this with me. Well, think about this. See, here's the bottom line. Whether this wilderness experience was years before he became king or whether it was years later, no matter what he was going through at the moment, his destiny, his purpose, his calling, his anointing had not changed. Anybody getting this? This is how you handle the wilderness, somebody. That you get out there and you begin to understand one thing, that no matter what I'm going through at this moment, no matter how bad it is, no matter how dry it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hard it is, it does not change God's plans for me.
That's right. Come on.
Oh, somebody loves that. Some of you are going through things that I've never gone through. Some of you are going through things I never want to go through. But let me tell you something, church. It does not change who you are in God. Oh my. Because once you come to Jesus and you accept him and you have been washed in the same blood that I have, church, there ain't no difference between you and me. He looks at each and every one of us the same. He's no respected person. He's still got a plan. He's still got a purpose. He's got a calling. He's got an anointing on your life. Nothing that you go through, nothing that the enemy will send your way is ever going to separate you from the love of God. Woo. The king shall rejoice in him. There's going to be a time. Oh, it's going to happen, he's saying. The king. No matter what, even before he even got the throne, or even if his son tried to usurp his authority, I'm still the king. God called me. God anointed me. It wasn't you. It wasn't mom. It wasn't dad. It was God on high that put me in the position that I'm in. You can't change that. He said the king still will rejoice. There's going to come a time I'm going to be rejoicing. I believe he was rejoicing because he knew he's going to be rejoicing. Anybody ever get there? You get happy because you know there's a coming a time that you're going to be happy? I've been that way. I've been in a miserable condition, but yet I knew by the word of God that it wasn't going to last, and I started getting happy. I knew there was going to come a time I was going to be really happy. And when I knew that, it made me happy now. So you don't have to wait on it. Somebody start praising him now. Right. Even before you see it. Even before you feel it. My God. The king shall rejoice. And listen to this. Not just the king. Not just David. He said, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Oh, I hope you're getting this with me. In those days when men would take an oath, they took an oath with somebody that they trusted. And they came into a covenant to remain loyal and to remain faithful. Well, church, let me tell you something. I believe that as we speak faith in the name of Jesus, yes, we shall glory. Yes. We're in covenant, aren't we? Bible says, church, that we have a new covenant in Christ Jesus with better promises. He is that one that made a way, church, for you and I to be able to come into obtain that heritage. The Bible tells me in the book of Revelation, church, that once you come to the Lord, you are kings and priests in the kingdom. The king shall rejoice. He said, everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Those that speak lies shall be stopped. Oh. Quiet in here. What's the lie? Well, anything contrary to the word of God? Isn't that what it is? I'm going over to Psalm 78 as I'm closing, but read this. And he's talking here, and he said, I want to, the things that I commanded your father, he said in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which shall be born, who shall arise, declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. He's talking about the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them, marvelous things that he did for them in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand in a heap. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all at night with a light of fire. He clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink. He brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for the lust. They spoke against God and saying, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Anybody reading this with me? See, that's the lies that he's talking about that will be stopped. Can God? He said, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. A fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Boy, there's he's trying to show us here, church, how to handle the wilderness. There's a right way and there's a wrong way to handle your wilderness. Now, this morning, you may be there. You may be in your wilderness. You might be in that experience that I've been talking about. Maybe you felt like it was just, it was your time and it was your year. Pastor, I've been praying and believing with you. I'm believing this is going to be the most productive year I've ever had. And it's starting off to be the hardest time I've ever known. That does not change what God has said. Come on, somebody help me. It's only been a week? A week today. Is this okay with anybody? And God is trying to get us to the point of how are you going to handle the wilderness? Maybe right now everything's going real good for you. Maybe it's just everything. Oh, Pastor, it's already starting off real good. Oh, but you're going to find there's a wilderness. How are you going to handle the wilderness? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been through it once or twice or 10,000 times. You know what I mean? You've gone through the wilderness, and God's showing us here, church, how to handle the wilderness. David's a perfect example. Somebody who was close or somebody who had experienced how wonderful that the kingdom is, only to be finding himself in a place where he's running for his life. But even in that moment, there's a right way and a wrong way. There's a right way to handle my wilderness. I'm going to seek him early. I'm going to find him. I'm going to praise him. I got a desire even in the midst of where I am. Sometimes it takes a wilderness to get somebody thirsty. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes, church, it might not be everything that you wanted, but sometimes it takes a wilderness to get you. You may have to get to the point that you run out of water before you're thirsty. Anybody ever find that out? All of a sudden, the water shut off, and when the water shut off, you didn't notice it before, but now you're dying of thirst. No, they got to shut it down. They got to work on the pipes. They're working, and you didn't notice it, but all of a sudden, you're thirsty. You never even realized that you were hungry. You never felt hungry until you started fasting. And then everything sounds good. Even food you don't like. Anybody? Some of you that have been fasting with me, you know what I'm talking about. I never notice how many food commercials are on TV until I'm fasting. And there's one after another, and it's food that I don't even like, and it sounds pretty tempting. Do you know, I grew up church, and my mom, she was from West Virginia, and we ate, you know, we kind of grew up on beef and potatoes and things like that. I never had a taco until I got married. No Mexican food. My wife loved it. And every time that I was fasting, she would go through Taco Bell. Because she knew that I didn't like that. But you know what? When I was fasting, all of a sudden, that smells pretty good. What is that? That's just beef and meat and cheese and a little lettuce. And I like lettuce. I like cheese. And finally, one day, I was fasting for 3 days, and she went through Taco Bell because she knew that I didn't like that, so it'd be easy for me. But and finally, at the end of my third day, and I said, "You know what? I'm going to eat a taco." She got me one of the crunchy ones, you know, and I bit down on that thing, and she said, "What do you think?" I said, "It tastes like dirt." But by the time that I got through that whole taco, you know what, church? I like Taco Bell now. I still haven't graduated to, you know, El Patio or anything like that yet. Every time we go to Los Portales, you know what I get? I get a cheeseburger. I come in there, my Mexican friends, they already know what I want. He gets the kids' meal. I see him over there talking. He gets to kiss people. But sometimes, church, you don't know how thirsty you are until you find yourself in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
You don't know how good God is. Somebody let me look. Oh, I get in the wilderness and wait a minute, I get it. Yeah, anybody been in a spiritual wilderness? And I just need to feel the anointing. I need to feel the presence of God. I don't know about anybody else, church. I don't like it when I don't feel that. I'll keep praying until I feel that. Anybody else? Church, we want to be productive this year. We want to see His glory. And if you want to be the most productive year you ever had, you want to see His power and His glory, start speaking faith. Start speaking the truth. Start speaking the Word of God over your stuff. Sometimes you come to a stop in your life. Sometimes, church, there's things that God wants to do in your life and you've come to a stop. Why? Because you haven't been speaking. They that speaketh lies shall be stopped. If all you're doing is grumbling and complaining and spewing hate and misery, your stuff is going to come to a halt.
That's right.
You start speaking faith, you start speaking, that thing's going to live again. Oh, my business may be in the wilderness right now, but it's going to live again. My relationship might be in the wilderness right now, but it's going to live again. My job might be in the wilderness right now, but it's going to live. Somebody know what I'm talking about. All he's waiting on is for somebody to call out Jesus. Maybe you come in here this morning, you find yourself Pastor, I've been over the anthill. And I find myself just covered with. All you got to do is just start speaking the truth. Start speaking the word. Just start speaking Jesus. I speak Jesus over my family. Jesus over my little home. Jesus over my automobile. Jesus over my church. Jesus over each and every one of you. I'm speaking life on you. Is that all right?
Yes,
bow your heads with me real quick this morning.